Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 60. When challenged by the Vishnudutas to describe the principles of religion, the Yamaduta said, Veda Prani Hito Dharma. The religious principles are the principles enacted in the Vedic literature. They did not know, however, that the Vedic literature contains ritualistic ceremonies that are not transcendental, but are meant to keep peace and order amongst materialistic persons in the material world. Right? So since you're dealing just like within the general society, you have a lifestyle that's there. And so because of the natural practice of that lifestyle, you don't necessarily need rules, but that it does work according to rules. When you come into an environment where they don't know that lifestyle or not interested, then you have to have rules, right? And then if they'll follow them, nice, but if they don't, then you have to have more rules that's specifically for them. You know, like at this time everybody's back in their cell, at this time the lights go off, at this time there's no more talking, at this you know what I'm saying? So that's what all the ritualistic ceremonies and that are for, to keep all those who don't want to be God conscious quiet. Right? But it's based on the original lifestyle. Right? Doing sacrifice is original. Just the difference is there, it's for Krishna, here it's for ourselves. Right? Because if we had to do everything for our Krishna, then how many people would do it? But if you do it for yourself, then people are willing to do it. But still, you have to be educated enough to appreciate what it is you can gain from the Vedic culture, right? So that's yeah. Because so, in other words, you know, we're talking about more high grade criminals here.
Yes.
You know, like that.
More cultured.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The one in the what is it called? Yeah, you know, the prisons that look like a high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Means if it's for kids, it's called a high school. Prisons. If it's for kids, it's called a high school. If it's for businessmen, then, you know, it's called, you know, low security.
Yeah.
Like that. And if it's for hardened criminals, then it doesn't look like a high school anymore. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why they don't use that one anymore. That one, that was... Yeah. I mean, such a classic place. Oh, that I don't know.
I think they have one in New York.
I think so.
Yeah.
Of course. Come on. Americans have everything.
That's where it's all...
It's not the center of the universe?
I mean, you look at a map, you know, Fly station half.
Yeah, of course. Isn't that the way the world is?
Apparently.
The world's flat, right? So that means America's in the middle.
Yeah.
Depends on the perspective.
Yeah. You know, for the Eskimos, they figure they're in the middle, right? And everybody else is off to the side. You know. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and Israel is part of Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Many people say.
Israel is part of Europe.
Yeah. Israel.
Yeah.
But it's got enough Ashkenazis. It should be part of Europe.
That's the point. So it's depending on the perspective. It's geographical.
Yeah. Yeah, but just to, you know, just to the north, west, east, and south, that's the Middle East.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, and Europe.
Okay. Real religious principles are nistrigunya, right, that are not by the modes. So that's how you tell, is that you have the rituals. See, because there's two aspects here. This is why it'll get confusing. You have the rituals that are there for everybody. That's just the standard lifestyle. Now, you can follow that with the three modes or without. Right? So then, because the lifestyle is necessary in your process, therefore, the karmakandis, that will be called this. That will be called trigunya, right? But for the devotees, the Vaishnavas, it's not. It's just part of your lifestyle. It's just sadhana. It's your basic or the basic social system. Then you have things that are specifically for those who are karmakandis. You know, the special extra rituals and stuff like that.
Like manu, there are verses that don't count for Vaishnavas.
Yeah, or at least they're not so important for them. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's for them, it's important. Without them, they can't be structured and won't be inspired. Mm-hmm. But the Vaishnavas generally don't, they don't need to follow them, but it's not that they couldn't follow them. You know, when they follow, then they will... When they follow, then they will... When they follow the devotees, then they see everything connected to Krishna. So for them, they can do all these karmakanda activities, but they're not karmakanda, this devotional service, because they function above the modes. So this is where it gets confusing, right? Because there are things that are ritualistic that are meant for the karmis, but the devotees can follow the same thing and it still be devotional service. Then there's the activities of natural lifestyle that the devotees follow, but the karmis are also following that, so then it gets mistaken that it's ritualistic. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of, this is, means, so it, yeah, does that make sense? So that combined with what we're discussing this morning about the what Brahminical culture is, that's why it's so such a, you know, seemingly difficult situation, how you say? Not process, but structure to understand. Because generally we want structure. It's just, here's the form so we can give a name to everything and then it's all got something, right? Because it's a world of names, so we like it like that. But this is more, it's concepts. But the concepts have their natural external manifestation. Because by the Vedic, when you have a concept, that is solid. Right? Means the sages see the universal form, Hiranyagarbha, and then they know how to deal and work within the material energy. So it is concrete. But in the modern, if something is theoretical, means it's not practical. So that's the difficulty. When by perspective, you look at the Vedas from an academic viewpoint, or from a modern business viewpoint, or managerial viewpoint, then the problem comes up is you'll say, oh, it's theory, so it's not practical. When it's never like that. Vedas are always practical. Like that. It's just a matter of, they're practical, you understand the theory, it makes it more practical. You don't understand the theory, you can make it work. You know, if you just do what it's supposed to do, you will get results. But if you know what you're doing, then you'll get better results. Right. Does that make sense? But that's how it works anywhere. It's just in the Vedas it's known and in the modern it's not. In other words, the modern it'll give all the structure and say this is the system. But if you don't actually understand what's the principles of the system, you can't use it. Right? But because people don't understand this between primary and secondary, therefore, the people do understand it, just say, you know, why can't you see it? It's so obvious.
Isn't that because of false ego, we tend to flip the principle in detail?
That's there. I mean, that's there, but even within the secondary, there's still primary and secondary. So the people who are able to function successfully can see both. To what degree they see both is another thing, but they see both. That's why they can use it. The common person doesn't see both. That's why they have to work under someone who does.
Yeah.
Right? Like that. Because somebody's sitting at their desk pushing keys on a computer, right? You know, and then they're, and then occasionally they actually do some work.
Yeah.
You know? Yes, yes, yes. No, but working hard to hardly work. Now
that is
you work hard so that you look like you're working, but you're not working.
That's hard work.
Yeah. Yes, the dvijas should see both. But how far they see, at least in, they have to see on the material platform. To be able to do their skills as Brahma Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra. You know, we need to explain to the Shudras. But for the devotees, they have to see primary and secondary means devotional service, and then the secondary, the expression. So if they actually see, they can see primary and secondary within primary, they can see primary and secondary within secondary. That will be the most successful. So we see the great personalities like Prabhupada. He can see all this, so that's why he can function the philosophy very nicely, understand, explain it very simply or very technically, whichever is the proper, you know, I say presentation. At the same time, he can get down to very practical stuff with anybody. You know, it's like I think there was some guy, I don't know, I think maybe he was a lawyer or something, but he's one of these really tricky kind of lawyers. You know, just tries to make some. Take advantage of people because they don't know, and they were taking advantage of the devotees when Prabhupada was out traveling.
I was in New York.
Yes, in New York, and then when he came back, he said, "Tell Mr. Wasacha, I'm back."
Yeah.
You know, and then immediately the money came back, right? You know, because they knew is that Prabhupada just walk in and get the money back anyway. So why save yourself the embarrassment? You know. So that's the point, is that it's not that oh it's the West and if you're. Point is, Prabhupada said he could function in the West because he's a Calcutta boy. If you can function in Calcutta, then you can function in New York. Like in Calcutta, you do not look like you don't know what you're doing. The same thing in New York. You come out of the subway, you don't know where you're going, someone will take advantage of you. So that's why New Yorkers always look like they know what they're doing, even if they don't. It's just you have to. So it's the same principle. So that's the point is, the active principles are universal. Just in the Vedas, they can explain them, they understand them. While the West, it's a feeling. And so they try to articulate the secondary of the secondary. And then they have a structure, and then because they understand it, then it's good. And if you don't understand it because they haven't explained it, you know, you have the nature, then they'll say, yes, this is, okay, this guy's smart. And if you don't, then they'll take it that you're an idiot. When actually it's they don't know how to explain it.
Yes.
They don't even know what they know. Like that. That's okay. Real religious principles are nistrigunya, above the three modes of material nature, are transcendental. The Yamadutas did not know these religious principles. Right? So that's sadharma. So you have dharma and what that's trigunya.
Mm-hmm.
And then sadharma means nistrigunya. It doesn't necessarily mean you change the rule, change the ritual, change the endeavor, or change the result. It just means that our identity changes, our reason we're doing it changes, and that result is for Krishna. But externally it doesn't change. So the secondary doesn't change at all. Neither the primary or the secondary of the secondary. It all remains. What changes is now you introduce the primary, actual, the real primary. And so it's the devotional service. Right? And so the recommended points of the secondary are the closest to the secondary of the primary. You got it?
Yeah,
I was just writing.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Not, I'm just as fast as you.
You sure? Now, are you sure you want to say like that? Because
no.
You're taller.
No. Yes.
So that means if you're as fast as he is, you're going slower in proportion.
If I had been a little faster, I wouldn't have said that.
Hare Krishna. So, no, it means, is if you want... not sure I remember what I said. The... how you say? You have the primary and the secondary, okay? So the primary being the transcendental, the, you know, original, and the secondary being the material forms. Now, it, within the primary, you have the proper mood, you know, and that of that love for Krishna, please Krishna, and the secondary are the forms used. But because they're all completely engaged in Krishna's service, they're all transcendental, right? Now, that's when you come down where you're looking at bringing into the material world. Then you have the secondary here, right? And within that, then there's primary and secondary. So the primary will be also the moods, the bigger understandings, and that the theoretical aspects and that. And, you know, and the main point, which is to make profit or to get control or to enjoy, right? And then the secondary will be the forms used, right? Now, in the Vedic system, see, the modern, they don't know how to synthesize all these things. They use these fancy words, synthesis, synergy, holistic, you know, I mean, they're constantly bringing up new ones, and like holistic is really old now, you know, like that. They already still use it, but yeah. Hey.
That's something.
Yeah. You know, so all these kind of, you know, wholesome sounding, you know, like whole ground wheat or something like that. So it's like holistic, you know. Like that. They don't separate.
Like whole grain.
They don't say, yeah. You mean whole grain? Yeah. Is that multi-grain? Yeah. So I don't lose it again.
Yes.
Is the secondary that's here that's recommended in the Vedas is what is... it is the same or the closest to the secondary in the spiritual world. Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes. So that's the thing that we're trying to do.
Huh?
Because then it buzzes, doesn't it?
Yeah,
because... No, because I need to know if certain people call, then I have to, and certain people then also have to know, so I have to know that. Yeah, that's easy, better. Now, in this secondary, right, the primary is, it pleases Krishna. It's an and so you're expressing that love for Krishna. So in that secondary, as we mentioned, it has the activity forms and activities, but there's also the mechanics of it, how it works, the theory of it, the knowledge of it. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that all the Sambandha Gyan, that has all four aspects in knowledge, right? So that's going to be part of that secondary. Right? And then the next level is then you apply it. That's the part where we generally see. That's the practical part. Then there's going to be the result, you know, in the form we see, but the main result is in the experience. That's the primary. You know, I'm talking about, you know, I said, well, we're looking at the spiritual world. So in other words, the Icha Shakti functioning there, the Hladini Shakti, that's the primary aspect. The secondary will be the Sandini and Samvit.
Yes. Of the primary.
Yeah, within the primary. It'll also be always, but we're starting with one then going to the other. You know, because I just want to show where it originally comes from. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because we see when we get a result in, what do you call it? It moves back to Sambandha, right? So then that's why we can say is that part's there. But that point of that love or that experience, that remains how it, you know,
yes.
In that position.
Yes.
Right? Not saying that doesn't give one's identity and everything like that, but it's the forms and the actions that are there, right? Now, when we bring that into the material world, then you have primary and secondary of this in the material world, right? Which is technically secondary. Because the primary is about pleasing Krishna. So the secondary, because it's going to be about herself. So actually, we're only taking the secondary, the spiritual world, and reflecting that here. So then here, what we would call the primary, the secondary, is that Sambandha Gyan. Right? right? So technically it never actually is primary. You know, primary. But within the secondary, here we would call that primary. Right? So somebody has some anagyan of a subject, we would say they're able to use it. They're the successful people. Then, in the external forms and actions that are used, that's then is going to be the secondary that you see. Same.
So many times it happens in devotee, they think that sambandha is prayojana, and prayojana is sambandha. But then, still following the abhideya process, after some time, it all falls into its own place.
Right.
Although they think, what is the goal? It's in sambandha, because achieving sambandha, and then something, they can't even explain what it is.
Yes.
And then they follow the process, and then everything
starts to fall into place, yes.
Yeah.
That's what happens with the karmis. But, you know,
who's by the karmis?
I mean, the devotees it'll happen, but I'm saying the karmis, the ones who are successful, that's what we're meaning, is it just happens for them. They can't explain
they
can't, it.
Yeah.
That's why there's so many books on how to, you know, function in the material world. Because they all explain the secondary of the secondary.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll touch on a mood or something of the primary within the secondary, but never really much.
Right.
So that's why they always have to write another book. Right?
Yeah.
Like that. So you know, there's something more subtle. So we'll take the gross stuff as one, and if it's subtle, like a quality, like I think it was a big thing, you know, I'm not thinking maybe in the 90s or like that, it was called, so it was something about the four principles of management. I think it was a Harvard thing. I don't know what it was, but it was something that was big. You know, you can still find, you know. And then eventually someone came out about the fifth. The fifth was is having sense control. Because you can do the activities, but when you get the money, why will you make profit? Because you control your senses and don't spend it. You control your senses and behave properly. You control your senses and take care of your, you know, in other words, without controlling your senses, you actually can't make the system work. Because before, they never take those into consideration, but sometimes they do that. So those are the subtle qualities that you use on the platform of the mind.
Yeah.
Right? Like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the difficulty, is these things are they all overlap. So therefore you have dharma, and then when it's done with real, actual primary, that's sad-dharma.
Yes.
So it doesn't actually have to be, its natural form is the same as what they do in the spiritual world. Right? That's why it's recommended. When we say, oh, we're here, why do we have to do what's here?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it's like, okay, let's say you're in the airport. Okay? And you go into the bathroom. What do you wear? Whatever you have. But now, look at this. What do the people that actually basically stay all day in the bathroom wear? Uniform. You understand? So who's the bathroom made for? The guys in the uniform? Or the people that come through that don't have the uniform? That's the whole point. The material world's meant for the devotees. So this idea is, oh, I'm from here, I should wear from here. Okay, if you want to be a janitor, wear whatever they wear here. Yes?
It's also difficult sometimes when we preach, then we want to talk about primary, but then people, they dwell on the secondary, and within the secondary, on the secondary, on the secondary.
Yes.
So they always try to bring the topic down to that level,
yes,
and then, you know, answer that, and then we try to bring it up, but then the whole discussion, the whole thing, because this is where the interest is.
Yeah, that's where the interest is.
So it's...
No, it's always a difficulty. Because you see, it's like when Prabhupada first, you heard the 66 lectures?
Yeah.
You know, hour and a half long, and, you know, all very, very... How you say, very upbeat and, you know, very happy and nice, as, you know, going like this. And then you see, then it's slowly it goes less and less like that until it becomes very formal, very structured. And by, I think, by 70, somewhere in there, it's 20-minute classes. Minutes. That's
yeah,
it. Doesn't do more. Because of this same kind of principle. So, therefore, it's something one has to deal with. It's just like that. So, in other words, preaching means it's a long haul.
Yeah, because it appears that first you have to penetrate through people's ignorance.
Yes.
And deal with that.
Yes. And then as that gets purified, then you can bring it up. But you can, at least so that they trust what you're talking about, start above the modes. And so then they see it's logical, it makes sense, but then at some point they want to break it practical, and that's when it gets distracted.
Yeah.
But the point is even you, it gets distracted, always discuss it in its practical form, but in relationship to the primary. So they see what's the connection, why it's done, and everything like that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? You know, so because much of the time people just don't know why it's done.
Because even here we see that the Yamadutas, they wanted to talk about secondary retribution, you know, how it
is
these guys, you know, you're not the supreme, so we really not sure, you know, how to, you know, respect, no respect, and then,
So this is the material world. That's why Bhagavatam is unique. See, because Veda Vyasa has compiled all the Vedic literatures, and he has then to give a synopsis of that. So it's in other words, the Vedic literatures are valuable for everybody, but now the details and technicalities of it, then only specific people can use. So then, if you make it into a form that everybody can get the actual benefit of it. He was thinking that would be good. And he wrote that literature and is still popular today. So literarily it was good and it maintained the culture. Otherwise, why is the culture still even to some semblance still there? It's because of this literature. But as pointed out by Narad Muni, he only brought out the secondary aspects. He mentions the primary, but he doesn't bring everything in that context. So we see here is that you're talking about everything in context of the Supreme Lord, right? You know, Kardama, he's a brahmachari, he wants to get married in context with the Lord. Right? So everything's in context with the Lord. Then kings are there, they're doing yajnas, their positions, everything like that. It's all in context of this. So the Bhagavatam is the only literature that actually directly deals with this without getting distracted by the secondary. That's why, even though it explains all the secondary, what it's doing is explaining how the secondary here connects to the secondary there. You know, and all of that has to connect to the primary. So that's that. So devotees will generally think it's theory. But if you actually understand what's really practical, you see it's the most practical of all the literatures. Because from there, then you can go back into anything else, because the process is descending. So you understand this, then you can descend down into any other subject. But for many, then these modern subjects, you have to ascend to them. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. So therefore, it's given that elevated position. But for us, it's not, because you're descending to it. But from here, you know, from just straight up front ignorance, then you know there's sophisticated ignorance. So then that's, you know you're getting, how you say, elevating oneself. You know, it's like the Brahman, like I was saying, is I remember one discussion on the, on the veranda, you know, because you have the things you can just lean on the veranda and talk, you know, forever, you know. And then, you know, so there's a bunch of brahmacharis, and one brahmachari, after forever, he says, "Wow, you know, we've been talking a long time. I think I'm going to elevate myself to sleep." You know, it's just, this conversation is so, you know, useless that I want to elevate myself by going to sleep. Yeah, so like that. So that's an important thing, is religion and sad-dharma. Because we take it, religion is one set of rules, and sad-dharma is a totally separate, different lifestyle, different rules, different everything. But actually, dharma and sad-dharma are the same. The difference is dharma is the secondary aspect. Sad-dharma is then with secondary performed with the primary. In other words, the primary is main, the secondary is supportive. While if we don't, dharma means we're taking the secondary, so the theoretical aspects will be primary, and then the practical will be secondary. And so that's all the more we understand. So, but both of that is still called, that is just dharma. Right?
So, technicalities of varnashram, would that be within secondary or secondary? Or where do you put that?
It depends upon what it is. If it's a technical application, that would be the secondary. The secondary, if it's, you know, if it's more the metaphysical, that would be the primary, the secondary. Because you can see when we discuss metaphysical, because metaphysical means it's you know, above what we can see, but it's not transcendental. And that itself becomes very bewildering.
Yes.
You know? People are, you know, it's like, wow. You know, so we haven't even gotten to the actual primary.
Is that the daivi part of Vanashram is the primary or the secondary?
Means, within this, it means... Daiva Varnashram means you're using you're applying the activities that match your physical and psychological nature to please Krishna. That's Daiva Varnashram. That you're applying your physical and psychological nature to perform your duties to get, you know, the proper results, either by karma or jnana. That's Varnashram. So technically that's called Asura Varnashram. But the point is we generally think Asura Varnashram means the, you know, the demons on the lower planets with all the teeth and, you know, shock of orange hair and all that. But here it just means it's not theistic.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So then, but the theistic means then you're accepting the Lord, right?
So that's within some kind of jnana.
Yes. But because you have this overlap. Remember, you have the formal cause, you have the original cause, then you have the, what do you call it? The material cause and the instrumental cause, or operational. Right? So the point is that's like primary and secondary. So the original cause, formal cause, are in the primary. But it's got the two divisions. Right? So why is it we always end up with two? Right? Why always, you know, we have, okay, primary, secondary. Why do we have to take primary and secondary divided by two?
Cause and effect.
Cause and effect. And what's the origin of cause and effect?
Masculine figure.
That's the whole point. Is that it always goes back to the Lord and His energies. So there'll always be two. Like that. So there's always two. Does that make sense? So that's why then it seems to be confusing, because then we're taking the masculine, but we're going masculine and feminine within that. Then we're going feminine, we're going the masculine and feminine within that.
And that's why it seems confusing.
Yeah, that's why, because there's always an overlap. The two, you know, are one is half of the other. So there's a natural form of, you identify this as feminine because it has these parts that are, you know, it has these parts that are feminine and these parts that are masculine. And you identify this other group as masculine because it has a particular natural form of what's masculine and feminine. So the whole point is they're opposite each other. Right? So therefore you say, this combination of masculine and feminine is masculine, and this combination of masculine and feminine is feminine. But you reverse those, then that's where you have the problem. So that's the modern, you know, mental speculation, that they reverse everything, move everything, because they are there. But the real point is it's not. It's just like, how you say, you know, the masculine form is the man is the active one or the aggressive one. Mm-hmm. But it's not that all that's not there in the feminine nature. Mm-hmm. But it's the feminine nature that will be manifest through a indirect way. Right? In other words, women want to control everything, but they don't want it to look like they're in control of everything. Unless they want it to look like they're in control of everything, then they'll let you know they're in control of everything. But other than that, they want it to look like they're not. So even if you say, oh, we're doing, depends on the mood, if you say, oh, because you're running, no, no. Because the point is, it's a mood that I'm not, but I'm getting everything I want. Because it's, if I have to do it, it's not as good as somebody wants to do it for me. You understand? So therefore, because what's mukdata? Right? Sarvagyan mukdata. Right? Means is you're putting yourself under the energy. So the feminine nature likes to put itself under its own energy. You understand? Because there's more taste. Oh, this person is doing this for me. Even though you've, you know, made it very clear, if they don't do that for you, then there's going to be trouble. But it's got to be, when it's done, it doesn't look like you're doing it just because it's been said. It has to, you know, it comes natural. You have to want to do what they said, so therefore it'll come out natural that you're doing it. Does this make sense? Right? That's the thing. So if you understand, then you know what's masculine and what's feminine. Because each one has both in it. And it different, and depending on the perspective, it looks like one's more prominent than or the other. But you still have to know what's the natural form. That's the traditional thing. That's where tradition comes in. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
So nowadays, people constantly shifting those positions.
Yes.
To take advantage.
Yes. Whichever one will make profit, then that's the one they take.
Yeah, because Arjuna in the Gita. He tried to do this with Krishna in the beginning also, because he was trying, you know, to shift. And then Krishna, you know, stopped him and said, you fool, you don't play like this. And
yes, then, yes, yes. No, good, good. Remember when Mataji talking that she was talking about, you know, all this, and you know, women can do, they can do all the same things men, this, that, blah, blah, blah. Nice. Okay, great. Do it. Then, almost within the same sentence, she's complaining about how, you know, I mean, so that means then naturally the modern society is getting in the way of that, and so. But she was complaining about how, you know, people don't have respect anymore, don't dealing proper anymore. I get on a bus, no one gets up and gives me a seat. But hey, you just said we're women, we just do whatever. You know, it's like, you know what I'm saying. So that's the thing. You want profit on both sides. You know, in other words, you want to get on the bus, they'll give you a seat because you're a woman. But when you go to the office, then you can tell everybody what to do because you can do whatever the men do. You know, so that's right, perfection. Right?
You don't control so much.
Yeah, but the only person who can do that actually and get away with it, right? Because what we're looking for is that we can get that on both sides of the men. You know, they can control everything and not have to, it's always about them, but they control everything. The only one that can do that is the alpha female with females. They're the only one that can do that.
Alpha would be?
Alpha, I think, is the modern term, meaning it's like the main, you know, the head, you know, the, in other words, the head cheerleader, you know. You know, the queen bee at the, okay, you know, at the, you know, at the high school, you know,
homecoming queen.
Yeah, like that. But it's the one that she's the one girl in the whole school that controls what's considered proper amongst the girls. At the same time, it's all about her. You understand? So that's the mistake, is that you see her, okay, she's leading. So the men think that's how you lead. No, that's how women lead women. But men can't lead women that way. They have to be men, so it has to look like they're submissive. That's how they lead. But the women who lead women, they're like that, and they're heavy and butch, and you can do the whole thing, or just, you know, whatever it is, they can do the whole, all those things that the men would like to do but can't get away with. They can do it, and they'll get away with it. For some time, that's there. Yeah. You know, I mean, if you're smart, you can do it more pleasantly. Yes. Because they have to do what the what the woman in the center wants to do. You know what I'm saying? It's their call directly. While when you're doing it the other way, it's the woman's call indirectly. It means the man has to figure out. You know what I'm saying? It's, so the point is the girl who's in that position can use both. And she can get away with it. Men can only use their side. Because the other side's for females. Men aren't supposed to use it. But the females, they can use both sides, because they can. That's the way they are. Right? You know, what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. Right? You know. What profit? If they're really submissive and loyal, then they're taken care of. Yeah, it means that there's by the alpha. That means they're taken care of. But you know, but they're very, very strict. So more strict than, you know, that's what I'm saying. So the man is strict, but the women who are in that position are more strict. They can be more rough, more insensitive, more all that, right? Because they are more sensitive, so they know what bothers you. So they will make sure that you're bothered. While the man is kind of hit and miss, you know. Yeah, usually it's missed, but because he tried to do it, you get upset anyway, even though what he said didn't really. No, but you know. They tend to. So intent is everything. So
intent is punishable.
Yes, intent is punishable. Yes.
So he's going to suffer even though he didn't really succeed.
No, but the point is he tried.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like that. Yeah. You know. Yeah, in a sense, it's very complicated because at each point it splits and splits, and you know. So depending on what you look at, so that's the whole thing, is because you're looking at that it's personal, and it's energy, so it's constantly adjusting and changing. You know what I'm saying? But they'll always be taken care of. But the point is they always have to be submissive. Now and again, it'll look like they're equals, but they can never step over the line. They step the line, and immediately you're pushed back. That you're junior. You understand?
Is there a way for women to be outside
I don't care what they had to say and all that. It doesn't mean that, it means they'll say stuff, they won't like you, they won't appreciate, and you have to not care. And by doing that, that puts yourself in a superior to whoever's the alpha, because they can't do that. So with time, they'll leave you alone. They might even respect, you know. But don't care doesn't mean it's, you know, you're by socially don't. It means you're just not bothered. So in other words, if you work on it that yourself is not, then you come to that, then you get respected. And so therefore, if they do deal nice, you have to be very kind. But don't let yourself be taken advantage of.
A woman who's protected in the home would have a much easier time doing that, and thereby.
Yeah, that's there. Or someone who's just very detached. Yeah. A hermit can also do it. A recluse can do it. You know, so they'll be respected. They'll just be naturally respected. You know, just like, let's say there's a girl who's actually very pure. Then the actual impure girls, like prostitutes and that, they'll respect her. Other girls are kind of so-so. They'll be disrespectful and think she's out of it and this and that. But the girls who actually know what bad is, they know she's good. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, it's just like, you know, the real brahmacharis. So the women can tell who are the real brahmacharis and who's not. So that's respected. So if it's real, it's sincere that you're doing what you're doing and you don't worry about it, they'll harass a little bit, but then it'll stop. You know, in other words, you know what you want, and you're doing it, and you have reasons, and you're good, and then it's fine. You know, you just have to figure out, either don't worry about what they think when you say something, or figure out what lines work. You know, you find something. You know, how come you always wear that sari? Well, the other 97 are all dirty. You know, it's just a, huh?
Yeah.
It's just like, and then you keep walking.
Yeah. the time it takes to come up with a response to that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like one devotee from New York was saying when they were a kid, and he had these like the local bullies, and that would come up like bother him on the street. And there's this one kid, real skinny guy, you know, not at all physically like that, but super sharp, like that. Of course. And so when the guy come up to him and all that, he just look at him. The guy would come up to say something, he'd say something to him. And then the skinny guy would reply, he'd just look at him back and says, no, Thursday's on second base and it's leaking. And he would say it with such conviction, the other guy would be sitting there trying to, today's Thursday? Yeah, and in a second, why second? And leaking, and then he's already gone. They can't figure it out. But you have to say it with conviction. You have to be sincere. But he said it was, he was really good at that. He would never get in trouble because he... Yeah. Okay, so are we clear on Dharma and Sad-Dharma? It's a very, very important point. Right? You know what I'm saying? Because as we're going through those points, that if we catch them, it makes, like you notice, we get into something like this and then we hardly get through anything. And once we catch it, then you can go through 20 pages and it makes all sense. You know, that's the, like that. So the external form of Dharma and Sad-Dharma look the same. Right? That's the important thing. So what's the difference is it's done for Krishna. Okay? And then we have explanation of why it looks like the same as in the spiritual world, right? Because otherwise you can, but we're devotees, we don't care about... No, but the Vedas are from Krishna. Yes. And Krishna is the spiritual world. He's not from the spirit. We're from the spiritual world. He is the spiritual world. That's the difference. You know, we exist. Krishna is existence. Right? You understand? Yeah, that's that. Okay. What was that? So, the Yamadutas did not know these transcendental religious principles, and therefore, when prevented from arresting Ajamil, they were surprised. That is the real religious principle everyone should follow. Even though one follows Vedic scriptures, one may not know this transcendental principle, for it is not known to everyone. To say nothing of human beings, even the demigods in the upper planetary systems are unaware of it. Right? It's not that they don't know about the Supreme Lord Krishna, because we take it, if they just know that there's Krishna there or something, then we take it that they're totally spiritual. Nice, there's a connection that has a Vedic connection, but you saw how the Yamadutas preached. Now, according to us, we could explain that very nicely and be talking Sad-Dharma. But they were saying the exact same thing and talking Dharma.
Can we say they're on kind of a Paramatma realization program?
Paramatma on down.
Yeah.
Like that. Bhagavan, that's what's rare is Bhagavan realization. Because... Sad-Dharma means Bhagavan. Dharma means it's Brahman and Paramatma. So the demigods, they understand Paramatma, they understand the Supreme Lord is there. But they don't understand how you do everything for pleasing Him. They do their jobs. I mean, Krishna, God's the boss. Krishna's the boss. So therefore you work nicely for the boss, because He's definitely a bigger boss than any boss. So, even though they try sometimes to do something else, it never works out. You know, the Govardhan Leela, Lord Brahma, Vimohan Leela, the Pastor and Shiva. They try. It doesn't work. Right? So therefore, that word gets around, right? Like that. They're in the mode of goodness. They have a good memory, so word gets around.
Most of the time.
Yeah. So therefore, they know don't mess with Vishnu,
yes.
Don't mess with Krishna. But it doesn't mean they understand that same work that they're doing should be done to please Him. They're doing it out of fear. If they don't, they'll get in trouble. And they don't want to lose their position because they like the power and the facilities and position and respect. And Indra, he likes that because of the position he's in. He gets certain facility, he gets certain respect, he gets certain authority. He likes that. He's serving the Lord by performing those duties. But it's not necessarily that he understands Sat Dharma. He understands Dharma, he does his duties. And he's connected to those duties to the Lord, so it is progressive. But it's not that he's actually understood Sat Dharma, where it means it starts from there. Sarva Dharmam Parityaja. That's Sat Dharma. Because that's why I say Sarva Dharmam. You give up that I'm doing it because of the Dharma of the thing. I'm doing it because it Krishna. Right? Because Krishna's Dharma. Does that make sense? Yes.
To understand Sat Dharma, we need to have the desire to understand.
Yes, yes. So that's why all these things of, you know, we don't want to fit in like that. That's the difficulty. Yeah. We have to be careful because the element, because when we come into Krishna consciousness, then there's the, as we were talking before about the offensive chanting, right? And then with time that will become purified. We'll come to the point of Namabhas. That time, then we can understand more nicely. But in offensive chanting, we tend to just, you know, trip over our own feet. You know, so we don't get so far. You know, it's slower. So that's why we want to bring it. So the actual point is we're trying to get to that advanced stage. So that's why Prabhupada says, from Nishta, the Madhyama, that's the beginning of advanced devotional service. So it's basically you're doing the preliminary, and then it's advanced. That's the point. Once you come to that point, it moves very quickly. Right?
Can we put offensive chanting on a bas and shoot an arm in kind of a context with Madhya and stuff?
Yes, yes, like that. So offensive would generally would be prominent in Kanistas. Namabhas and Shudan, you know, Nam would be prominent in the Madhyamas, you know, and that and Shudanam would be with Uttamas, like that. But it's not that Shudanam can't be chanted by the neophytes, as we said. Someone's a neophyte, not in faith, right? It'll be scriptural knowledge, will be where that identifies them as neophyte. Right? Okay. Okay. To say nothing of human beings, even the demigods in the upper planetary systems are unaware of it. This transcendental religious principle must be understood from the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly or from a special representative. Right? So when Krishna speaks himself, Bhagavad Gita, then we can understand it. Or Uddhava Gita, or you know, Kapila Gita, then we can understand. Right? Otherwise we can't. Or his special representative. Right? So that's why the importance of the acharyas. Then we speak what the acharyas say, then that same effect, same potency. Brand new devotees, not even initiated, been around a few weeks, he can make other people into devotees, give them faith. How does someone who's been around, you know, a couple of months make others into devotees? Right? Where's the realization? Because they simply speak what they've heard from authority. So if everybody's speaking that, then whatever you hear will be that, and then naturally, because that's what you hear and that's what you contemplate, that's what you can say. Now, if they get too technical in their questions, you can't answer them. That's the neophyte. But the effect is that you're representative of the special representative, or representative of the special of the representative of the special representative. You know, however far you want to go, you know, then it works.
That's. By the chit potency.
It's by the chit potency. If that humility is there, you know, humility, tolerance, respecting others, not looking, respect for yourself, and doing and always chanting, then that chit potency is there. And so it doesn't matter how much you know, how long you've been around. It's not according to time and space. The potency is there. And so he says, oh, but when you advance, you know, then you know, you've been around a while, then this goes down. It's simply because we don't use those qualities anymore. We don't use humility. We don't use tolerance. We start speaking rights and truth and you know, stuff like this. And so then, hey, yes. What do you want? That's what you're supposed to, that's what you were talking before you joined. And that's why you joined, because you didn't find any of that. Right? Yamaraj continued, Lord Brahma, Bhagavan Narada, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Swayambhuva Manu, Kalad Maharaj, Janaka Maharaj, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Sukadev Goswami, and I myself know the real religious principle. That's why they're Mahajanas. Right? Okay, footnote 28. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns 20 to Bhagavad Arkamrithamala chapter 15 entitled Analysis of Favorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Anukul Vichar, which is in the Abhideya section of the book. Right? So this is what's favorable is hearing from these 12. Right? It means hearing from the Lord or hearing from the special representative. So these Mahajans are the special representative. Right? My dear servants, this transcendental religious principle, which is known as Bhagavad Dharma, or surrender unto the Supreme Lord and love for Him, is uncontaminated by the material modes of nature. It is very confidential and difficult for ordinary human beings to understand. But if by chance one fortunately understands it, he is immediately liberated, and thus he returns home back to Godhead. Right? So if it's that understood, you're free from the material contamination. So therefore, you live out the rest of your life trying to help others understand that, and then at the end of life you go back to Godhead. Right? Because otherwise, if at the time everything disappeared, then, you know, I mean, if you're very enthusiastic, you might be good, but if not, then you know, just like you bloop, you come in, then there'd be a phrase, you know, for going out, a poof, or, you know, or pop, you know, whatever it is. The guy sitting next to you really absorbed in his chanting, and then, you know, you just see him kind of like, you know, flickering, and then gone. Then, you know, then the others go, wow, cool. Yeah, it's just, wow. You know, yeah, so, you know, he got liberated, went back, you know, like that. So, therefore, that aspect of Prarabdha Karma remains until, you know, whatever time it's time to go. Yeah. 20 to 21, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, If no one knows Dharma, then what is the proof of its existence? We know Dharma, but have not clearly indicated this in the Smriti Shastras. We have written. Why? It is secret. Because of being the Supreme Truth, it is established, but in a covered way. Right? So this is called rahasya. It's hidden. So that's what it mentions, is that someone who teaches you a particular skill, and that's a teacher, and they're to be respected because that body of knowledge they've given you. But someone who can teach you the rahasya, that person is 10 times more respectable. Yes. Right? Does that make sense?
Is that to avoid it being exploited?
That's just to make the difference, because there's always the thing of who's more respectable. This one bumps into that one, you know. And so then somebody has to establish who's, you know, more, you know,
yeah,
respectable.
Yeah.
So then these kind of positions are there. So you know, means, in other words, you have to respect the position of knowledge and someone who gives you that knowledge. Mm-hmm. But the knowledge of the hidden, the secret knowledge, meaning this knowledge, this is even more, right? And so it is secret, right? And so this is written a few hundred years ago. So in other words, the secret is quite old. But what is the secret, that is not known. Right? If they say the secret is the secret, that means they don't know what is the secret. Right?
Yes.
So, that's the whole point. If someone gives that, so that's what Prabhupada focuses on. He focuses on what's the rahasya. Then, along with that, since you're going to apply that in your life, you need to know a few skills. So he teaches those things, and he comments on them and explains them. We just don't put them together. Right?
We're trying.
Huh?
We're trying.
Yes. But I'm just saying so that's the thing, we only see the secondary, we don't see that so much is given, so Prabhupada doesn't give much, so then we have to look somewhere else. And then when we look somewhere else, what we don't get is that they are also giving the rahasya along with that mundane knowledge. And that rahasya is gross sense gratification is perfection. So then we don't actually catch that we pick up the mood of these materialists. And then when we try to use it within Krishna consciousness, it doesn't work. No one likes. Yes?
Why is it kept secret? Because most of the people here have fallen and they are coming.
No. It's not a matter of fallen. It says other than those 12, it already mentions anybody else outside of those 12, there's a good chance they don't know. So it's not about Kali Yuga and fallen in that. It's about in the material world and not understanding that about the position of the Supreme Lord. But the point is it's openly mentioned, then you don't take advantage of it. Right? So therefore, it's secret because those who will take advantage of it, then they'll come to know of it. Those who won't, they don't know it exists. It's to elevate all, but they have to want it. Point is you can give. It's just like I said, you can take a handful of flawless diamonds, take it over to a 5-year-old, hand them and say, here, these are really nice. How long until they're all lost? Yeah, so then why would you do that? No intelligent man does that. So since Krishna consciousness is so valuable, it's only given to those who are interested. So we try our best to make people interested. But that's the point. You have to hear it from devotees. It's not just by reading the Vedic literature you'll understand it. So unless you hear it from the special representatives, you actually don't understand what the Supreme Personality of Godhead said. Arjuna understands directly from Krishna, but we understand through the acharyas. Does that make sense? My dear servants, this transcendental religious principle, which is known as Bhagavad Dharma, or surrender unto the Supreme Lord and love for Him, is uncontaminated by the material. Oh, we already did that. Then we're done on the next. Because of being the supreme truth, it is established, but in a covered way. Is explained in the 9th chapter of Gita. And later with Sarva Guhyatamam Bhuhyam Shrinu Me. Hear from me the most secret knowledge, Bhagavad Gita 18:64. So it's there. Right? So he's already given secret knowledge in, confidential knowledge. I think that's what, 12th chapter? 9th chapter in Gita. Right? But then again, he explains it in the 18th chapter. Because the other one is just, you have your dharma connect that to the Lord. But then he's saying, well, the real secret of the secrets is, the secret of all secrets is then, actually, it's about just surrender to the Lord in affection. It's not about engaging your dharma in the Lord's service. Because if you surrender the Lord in affection, you'll naturally express that affection. And so, therefore, you're going to engage your nature in the Lord's service to do that. Does that make sense? So, these levels, these are the things that are not well understood. Because it overlaps. We like things in nice little boxes with nice little arrows. And, it's nice kind of graphs and PowerPoint kind of, presentation. We appreciate that. But this is not like that. This is what's behind that. So therefore, since it can apply anywhere, put any chart and graph up on the wall, and we can explain that according to what we're talking here. So to have something that sophisticated, naturally it's not going to be that easy to understand. If you surrender to the Lord, it's very easy to understand. But if you don't, then it's less easy. Yeah. Basically. Okay. This dharma is beyond the gunas, Vishuddham. It is difficult to understand because it is not to be mentioned in the Smriti Shastras. dealing with the gunas, and because it is difficult to understand by a mind contaminated with a false, like interpreting the meaning, artavad, committed by people following karma, right? Because interpreting the meaning, that's that. What does that mean? It means we're understanding. We're trying to bring out the meaning. So that's not the point. It's that when we're, it's according to our own, according to karma and jnana, that's artavad. What you're explaining, what the acharyas have given, that's not, that's just, that's vichar. Right?
Yep. It's not to be mentioned in the Smriti Shastra, how to understand this, because Bhagavatam is...
No, it's transcendental. It means, okay, means, let's say you're doing things, how to do a yajna, how to do this, Ayurveda, Jyotish. Yeah. The point is if you know the rahasya, then you can see it.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned that one time, Atmatattva, he went to this one, I can't remember if he was, I think it was an Ayurvedic doctor, but he was, you know, he knew all these big guys from before. Back in the 80s, 90s, they were all around, but they would have been older. You know, the 60s, 70s, so I'm sure that they're not even around now. Or if they are, you know, they'll be seriously around, right? So he was discussing with them something about this, what was that? Anuchana aspect. You know, about how the same principles are functioning each one. And then the doctor said, I'll give you an example. He took one verse from the Ayurveda. He explained it. He read the Sanskrit and then explained it according to Ayurveda what it means. Then he explained it according to Shankya, the metaphysical. Then he explained it according to astrology. Then he explained it according to something. He explained it in 10 different ways, of 10 different, you know, branches of Vedic knowledge. And then, you know, the last one he explained according to philosophy, because he would have been a Sri Vaishnava. So he explained it according to Vishishtadvaita. So that's what we're talking about. Is if you understand, you can see it. That's why they say that they're seers of the truth, because they can see that. And that seeing is you see Krishna, then you can see Krishna everywhere. So that's the thing. And we take it, oh, seeing Krishna means, you know, he's standing there playing a flute and you're asking him, you know, what you had for lunch today, you know, like that kind of thing. You know, that's there, that's nice. But the point is that's only a value if you're on the platform of prema. You know, or at least on advanced stages of bhava. But otherwise, then the point is being able to see Krishna in everything you do. Right? Does that make sense? But not just seeing him, but it's about doing that to please him. That's the rahasya part. Otherwise, we take the rahasya to be to understand the metaphysical. But actually, it's understanding that it's being done to please Krishna. That's why Krishna is saying, you take everything, see it in relation to him. He gives the universal form, he gives the process, all these different things. But then we see is then he says, no, give all that up and do it just because it pleases him. So the secret is connecting it to Krishna. The secret of the secret, or secret of all secrets, is being done to please Krishna as a person. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So now, who asked this morning about why this doesn't explain it to the Yamadutas? You know, he's there, why can't he explain it? Remember that question came up? This is why. Yeah, because it's so confidential that unless someone's aware or interested, they can't learn it. Because it's so far beyond their conception. Does that make sense? You know, it's like we've discussed these topics before. But you can see that now there's a certain view of it, you know, a simplicity of it, but at the same time a greater understanding than was there before. Because we would tend to view it from that secondary position. Right? Secondary will always be there because there's masculine, there's feminine. Right? Because if there's no secondary, that means there's only, Atmarama. And if there's only Atmarama, we're not going to be conscious to be talking about it. Right? So only when Krishna expands his energy, then we are expanded, and then we're here to talk about it. You know, it means we've always been there, but we're not manifest so that we can talk about it. Right? Does that make sense? So there's always going to be, but it has to be that the primary and secondary of the spiritual world is our main focus. Then we apply that into, so we have the love for Krishna, the activities of expressing devotional service to the spiritual world, then it comes down here into the metaphysics here, and then down into the actual practical application. So all four stages, you understand actually what is primary, then you can understand all four. And if you don't, instead of walking in, they stop. Because they're all looking at the kid. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay, in order to reveal this secret, Srila Prabhupada comments. One must take shelter of one of these four sampradayas, Brahma, Rudra, Sri, and Kumara, in order to understand the most confidential religious system. Like what we're discussing here, if you go to, you know, those who are advanced in any of these four sampradayas, they would be able to, you would be able to discuss this with them. They might use their own terms. It might take you, you know, a few minutes to figure out that what they're saying, what you're saying, and also it's always nice if you both speak the same language. You know, yeah, so therefore I'd recommend Sanskrit, but if that doesn't work, then hey, use whatever works. Right? Probably won't be Swahili, but yeah. Okay? So then you would find that you'd be able to discuss this with them. And it would be the same point, because it's some, they may have their different, you know, which what they want to do with it, but the understanding is same. That's what we're saying. The spiritual world is one understanding. And in the material world, then you have a variety of understandings because of the material desire. So, yeah. Okay, you must take shelter of one of these four sampradayas in order to understand the most confidential religious system. Right? So you can understand religion out of these sampradayas, just someone who's in a Vedic line, right? In other words, they're from the Rig Yajur Sama Tarva line in one of the shakas. They have the proper connection. You could understand what's Dharma from them, right? But to understand confidential religion, that means Sad Dharma, that you have to approach the sampradayas. Because the Sad part, that's the part that doesn't come with the other. Because the others are teaching you Trigunya, and this is the Nishtrigunya. In the Padma Purana it's said, Sampradaya Vihina Ye Mantras Ne Nishvala Mata. If one does not follow the four recognized disciplic successions, his mantra initiation is useless. Why? Because he'll have mantras, it'll get him material benefits, but that's all it'll get. So that at the end of the body is finished, so it's useless for the soul. It may be good for your position right now, how you identify what you want to get done. For the soul, it's useless. But if you approach the four sampradayas, then your mantra is not useless because it will give you realization of Krishna. Yeah, the chit potency is there.
So it's on the level of sukriti when if you're not in a sampradaya.
Yes, then it's just piety,
yeah.
And so you'll get the religious benefit, but you won't get out of the material world.
But still, your next birth might be more favorable for acting.
It depends on what's your reason for it. If you're really committed to going to the heavenly planets, you won't. Yeah, you won't be interested in. No, no. In other words, if we're born in one of those families, then we engage it. But if we're not born, that's not what we aspire for. You know, we can learn something from it on how Dharma is performed, but we can't learn from them Sad Dharma. Sad Dharma comes from, you know, the four sampradayas. So since Dharma is common amongst Vaishnavas and non-Vaishnavas, that's just, you know, a general thing. That you should be learning from your parents. You know, and if not, you learn it however you can get it learned. But the Sad Dharma is the important part. If we don't see it according to Sad Dharma, we've actually missed the whole point.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? That's why you see is that you'll have those who aren't interested in all this Vedic stuff. And you'll have others who is totally into the Vedic stuff. You know, everything's all Vedic. you know. But both have missed the point. Both are Niyamagraha.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. In the present day, there are many apasampradayas, or sampradayas which are not bona fide, which have no link to authorities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Kumaras, or Lakshmi. People are misguided by such sampradayas. The Shastras say that being initiated in such a sampradaya is a useless waste of time, for it will never enable one to understand the real religious principle. Therefore, then one needs re-initiation. That's the whole point. If you're initiated into one of these sampradayas, you don't need re-initiation if something goes wrong. You simply have to continue off the siksha, because that's what's special about these lines. Right? But if you've gone through initiation process in these other lines, then you would want to be re-initiated. Yes, but it's used re-initiated because it appears you were initiated. You know, we don't mean that, you know, when you join the fraternity, then at night they come and put a pillow sack over your head and take you to the showers and turn the showers on. We don't mean that kind of initiation. Huh? Yes. I was just about to ask him if he was initiated that way or not. Yes.
When we talk about the sampradayas, more sampradayas, and sometimes people claim that the institution inside the sampradaya is not that important.
But what do they mean by institution? What do they mean by not important? Yes, no, but that's the whole point, is that whenever they say these things, you have to ask, because otherwise they have their own idea and they're just using words.
Because The point is,
institution, who established this particular institution? Yes, and so is that somebody, what Prabhupada says here, you must learn transcendental religious principles must be understood from the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly or from His special representative. So the mission of Lord Chaitanya is established by the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly Himself. Then that mission is handed down, so it takes on the form that we know it in general through Rupa Goswami, right? And then that becomes further then formalized by Jiva Goswami into the Vishnu Vaishnava Raja Sabha, right? Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Bhaktivinoda Thakur then brings out the Namhata aspect and how it can be spread everywhere. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur then takes that, he's using that, but then establishes the mutts, you know, and establishes that aspect. So then he again brings out the Vishnu Vaishnava Raja Sabha and points out that all the acharyas in our line that we call our sampradaya, we're not talking diksha, we're talking about who are the presidents of the Vishnu Vaishnava Raja Sabha. You know, in other words, who's the head of the line. Then we see Srila Prabhupada then took the same thing, formalized it so it would work throughout the world, work on an international system. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, you know, it's just like, okay, you take, like, Chaupati technically is a mutt. And it works like a charm in India. Do you know anywhere else in the world that they have like that, a growing brahmachari? We can't do it. That's why then probably use temples. Not that we didn't have. St. Louis was a mutt at one point. When I was there, it was a temple. And then afterwards, I think in the a little bit later, I think 75, 76, it turned into a mutt. It was just a brahmachari temple. It was because it was the exact center of America. So it was a great place to have as a center place for preaching. So then from there, they could go out to the whole of America. And while Prabhupada was here, Hyderabad was a mutt. Only brahmachari sannyasis lived there. Now it's a temple. So we see is that it's not something that's easy to expand, you know, especially when you're working on an international level, and outside then it's also. So therefore, he's established that. So the point is the institution of ISKCON is established by Prabhupada, but it's not, as I said, it's not about the institution, but it's also not about ourselves, that we can just, there's an institution, so it's an institution, so, you know, in the modern kind of anarchistic mentality, we can throw out these things because anarchists are always so wonderful and smart and better than anybody. So therefore, you know what I'm saying? So the whole point is if you understand what is ISKCON, you know, you understand actually what's the mission of Lord Chaitanya, then you can apply it nicely. Because then it's yes, you don't become disturbed and distracted by people's applying it in their lives and doing it nicely or not nicely. Right? But the point is the mission is still there, the teaching is still there, nothing changes. That faith, that being fixed, remains. Is that... Okay. Verses 22 to 35, the glory of Sankirtana. Okay, so now he's... Okay, after thoroughly... Okay, so this last one, he establishes Saddharma as the thing, right? And then those who... That's the real religion. So all these different heads within the universe are all practicing religion, and that's all being headed by the Supreme Lord. So people who understand that and that connection, that's Saddharma. People don't, then they become departmentalized, and that's Dharma. After thoroughly glorifying the process of Sankirtana, Yamaraj instructs his disciples to never again approach a Vaishnava, since they are beyond the modes of material nature and are protected by the Supreme Lord. Considering himself responsible for his servant's offense, Yamaraj prays to the Lord for forgiveness. Yamaraj continued, devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. Footnote 29. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns this verse to Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 13, entitled Sadhana Bhakti, executed exclusively by taking shelter of the holy name. Aikantiki Namashraya Sadhana Bhakti, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakura's book. Right? Because then it's just devotional service begins there, so that's actual where the Saddharma starts from. Then from there you expand it, or just leave it there, or expand it, you know, to the other nine. Additionally, in his Bhakti Sandarbha, Anucheda 92, Srila Jiva Goswami comments on this verse as follows. Here the word pumsam means of the living entities, and paro dharma means the religion of the entire world. There is no religion better than this. So we're looking for the international. This is the thing. This is the universal. Then he describes the nature of this religion, Etavan. He says it is direct devotional service, bhakti yoga, which begins with chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Grahanadi Bihi. The word Eva, indeed, here clearly indicates that it is different from any other kind of religion. Right?
Yeah.
Because it begins with here. So, it's one is these direct activities of devotional service, they are different from everything else. At the same time as the principle of these direct five is what makes everything else work. That's why we say bhakti is the support of all these others. You have to hear from the scriptures. You have to hear from, you know, guru and in the association of those involved in it. Right? Does that make sense? You have to follow your sadhana and method of worship. You have to place yourself in a environment of upliftment. Right? Does that make sense? So these five principles have to be followed for anything in karma or jnana to be successful. All it is, and they may even be chanting or, you know, worshipping Vishnu like this, but they're doing it just for their karma or jnana. So that's what he says, bhakti is the underlying feature of anything that's working. Right? I mean, it's just, why do they have clubs in the modern world? Because then you can associate with people who are like-minded. Right, and they'll have authorities. They have their practices. They have their place that they consider, you know, the, you know, holy grail. You know, like, you know,
scriptures.
Yeah, you know, like that. You understand? So they're always going to have it. It's just like there's so many places to ski in the world, and then there must be some place or a few that those are considered. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like that with anything. You know, it's like, you know, motorcycles, and then they race motorcycles. But then the motorcycle race is Isle of Man. Like that. Because the other ones, you might get hurt. That one you can kill yourself, definitely.
Yes.
You know, so it's got to be the best.
That's a good word.
Yes, attain liberation. And if you don't, you win the race, then you get karma. You get the, so it's like, yes, like the kshatriyas. You either die here or karma here, or there's no loss. Okay. So this establishes this is so it's different from anything else because it's what makes everything else work. Right? So it's actually the primary religion. Right? Now within this primary, there's primary that's got to be done out of love for Krishna. That's what we're saying is the overlap. You understand? But the lifestyle of one who exclusively chants the holy name, if he wants to fit in, is following the Vedic culture. You don't fit in by following the non-Vedic culture. Nobody fits in. You may say you fit in, but you don't because everybody else does it differently. You follow the Vedas, then there's a common thing everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Just like in India, after you finish eating, no matter where you are, washing your hands is standard. But in the West, you can have a meal and people don't wash their hands. It's not even a thought that it would happen.
They go to the toilet, don't
need
to wash
their hands. Yeah, so they just don't wash. You know, that's why you have the comment, the unwashed masses. You know, they don't wash. You know.
About this Indian classical musician who couldn't tour in the West because she was constantly, she couldn't get her mind off the fact that they were so unclean.
No, that wasn't me. But,
I heard that. Classical musician. She couldn't go and travel and play it in the West because she just couldn't get
maybe
her
that's,
mind off
that. That might have been Ravi Shankar's wife.
Okay.
Because she, I don't think she went out or whatever, she stayed and then she's still in. I don't know, she's still alive. And she couldn't sit there in front of the people and play because she knew none of them were washed. They haven't washed their hands, they haven't washed their mouth, we're stopping there. What do you call it? Too much information.
Yeah, exactly.
So like that, so she just couldn't sit there and play. At least you know in India they're all clean. Okay, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Then you should teach us that dharma and deliver us servants, right? The Yamadutas say. In spite of many varieties of dharma existing, bhakti is actually the real dharma, etavan. The word para is here a noun meaning the highest thing. So that means para can be in many ways, right? This bhakti yoga excludes bhakti mixed with the gunas. Right? So that means you're performing devotional service without the gunas. So it's not about the activity you're doing. It's about not being in the gunas. So how do we choose something not in the gunas? We follow authority. Because if we don't follow authority, then we're following our own mind, which means there must be passion and ignorance. If we're following our own mind, there's no question of goodness. That's why we follow tradition, because then it's goodness. We make it up, it's not goodness. Yeah, so we follow the acharya. That's why we do it. So that's actually fitting in. We'd rather fit in with the spiritual world and at least, probably 99% of the universe by doing that. And, it's like we were saying. Varsha is 1/9 of what do you call it? A Jambudweep. And on Bharadvarsha, we're on 1/9 of that. So we're on 181th first, an 80, an 81st or an 81th? How do you say it? 81st. It doesn't sound right. 81th also sounds very funny. People don't say that. Well, whatever it is. 1 out of 81 parts. Just on Jambu. And Jambu is one island out of the other 7. And the other 7 were all divided into, I think they were all 7 except the last one was 2. So, it's calculated as like 1/347th or something. And we're here and we think we're, cast me out. Right? Perspective, yeah. Oh, just as a side point. Remember we were saying about the hellish planets? the lower planets, the lower heavenly planets, the subterranean. It's there's no sun there, so it's always dark. But then the Nagas there on two of the planetary system light the whole thing, right? Because you have the thing, and so then their light, you know, probably reflects around there and lights all that. And there's no time, so you think that's weird. But then it struck me, that's what a mall is.
Yes.
A mall, there's no natural light. It always has the same light, so you can go in there and it's timeless. So you can go in there in the morning and have the same mood as if you went in the evening. It's not like anywhere else. Like people go out for a walk in the evening and then there's that. You may go shopping, you may go to a restaurant. Here it's the same mood all the time. So the same mood of shopping, enjoying, sense gratification. That's the subterranean heavenly planets. Yes, like anything like that. They create that environment. So that's the subterranean heaven. And we'll say, oh, this is so heavenly, that this is subterranean heaven. Because actual heaven would be natural, the outside, you know. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.